Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And with football right around the corner, no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving all users a no-brainer to start the season. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Have you heard of a football team losing by 100 points? Of course not. But for week one, DraftKings is ensuring that even if Kansas City were to lose in historic fashion, you would still cash your bet. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. So even if Kansas City loses by 100 points, you'd still win with DraftKings Sportsbook. That's a no-brainer. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN to take advantage of this no-brainer of an offer. That's promo code KSN. Get in on all the action for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, this was supposed to be football week. We were supposed to get prepared for game one, but instead we are going to once more talk about the dysfunctional Big Ten Conference. How are you doing today?
Oh, well, now that you said that positive tone, I'm doing great. But it's, I had this conversation with a bunch of people over the past few weeks just about like, what are you doing now with no sports? Like, how do you occupy your time? It's like, well, this is the stuff that's going on. You know, there's not football, but there's all this kind of stuff to figure out where it's going and why it's happening and all that. So there's even more. You know, the conversation just shifts. It doesn't go away.
The Big Ten has given us plenty to talk about for talk radio. So let's get started, Dustin, with the progress of news from the Big Ten and the representatives, coaches, ADs, commissioner in the Big Ten. Let's start with this. After canceling the fall season, there was all the talk of a spring season. Remember Jeff Brohm putting out that full plan. Then we were talking about starting football in January, and we heard James Franklin talk about this, playing in the domes. Now, most recently, we're hearing talk of actually starting the season in November, late November, around Thanksgiving. If we give this another couple days, Dustin, we might have football next week.
Yeah, that's where it's going. My question is, so, you know, Barry Alvarez talked to ESPN about it, and clearly there's a committee from the Big Ten about whatever it's called, a return to action task force, whatever they're calling it, that are really discussing all these details and what makes sense and what doesn't and how to work it out with TV partners and all that. And then you have a group of coaches with James Franklin included in that group talking about that Thanksgiving weekend start. My question is, just with Jeff Brohm's plan, and I think Ryan Day had some kind of tentative plan, are these plans from the coaches wanted and are they actually being considered? Like, that's the one question I have now. It's like, okay, it does make sense, you know, in some ways to begin in November and play this thing out. But is the Big Ten actually listening to that? And then the second hurdle is not the plan. It's the, all right, are university presidents and chancellors actually going to get on board? What dynamics might change that November makes more sense than September? And is this considered a backpedal if they start in November instead of the actual start to the season? I have more questions than there are answers at this point. I assume you do too.
I do, but as the host, I get to ask the questions, and I'm doing my job. You have to come out with answers since you're the expert, Dustin, so no excuses.
Who
I want answers.
Who called me an expert?
Dustin, remember, you can fool some of the people all of the time. So that's what I expect from you. So let's start with this. Are the coaches the ones driving this train? And does it matter if the coaches have this wonderful plan and have a consensus to play if we're not hearing from the commissioner himself or the presidents in the Big Ten?
From the sounds of it, it does sound like athletic directors and, to maybe a little lesser extent, the coaches are going to have a seat at this table. I think one of the several big missteps from Kevin Warren the first time around was that when he's meeting with these university presidents and chancellors, he's having this dialogue with them, he felt like he was in a position where he could represent all the athletic directors in this conversation. He wasn't. Their voices, you know, some of these higher profile ADs, their voices weren't really heard in this. Would it have mattered? I'm not sure. But, you know, these are the people who actually have to live this thing out. If there's a plan that they come up with, they're the ones who have spent their professional lives living these athletic schedules and understanding all that goes into the practice and the facilities and all the logistics involved. They should have more seats at this table. And it sounds like as the dialogue is continuing, they are having more seats at this table. And I think the environment that they're in, where there was so much pushback and so much criticism and it's ongoing and there still aren't answers, you know, I think that has opened the door for coaches and more people on the athletic side to really start to dictate more of the terms of the conversation. And that's where I think coaches are coming in. I think the, you know, there's a difference now than there was before, in part because nobody is satisfied, not just with the decision, but how the decision was made and the fact that we still don't really know how that decision was made. Was there a formal vote or not? That initially is what Sandy Barber said, that there wasn't a vote that she knew of. The University of Minnesota president said essentially the same thing. And then Kevin Warren hasn't really made a public appearance, but he did write a letter to try to ease people's concerns that I don't think really did the job either. And he said that there was a formal vote. So there's just so many questions about the process. And I think if you're going to make a process that impacts athletic people, that impacts football players and coaches and administrators, that they should be a large part of this conversation. And again, it does appear as they're trying to come up with their plan B, whatever that is, that these people are driving the conversation much more so this time around.
The problem with that, Dustin, is when the first decision was coming up, we did hear a lot from the coaches. We also heard from the ADs, and we heard nothing from the commissioner or the presidents, and they were the ones who made the decision. Allegedly, the commissioner was representing the athletic directors. Now, here we are going through this again. We're hearing from the coaches. We're hearing from the athletic directors. Conspicuous by their absence, the commissioner and the presidents. Again, just like last time. So could we expect something different from them this time around?
Boy, I really thought we would have crossed this bridge already, right? Like August 12th, I believe, was the date. And we're sitting here almost 3 weeks later, not hearing anything from most of these people. And the people we've heard from haven't really said, I'm in favor of the season because of A, B, and C, or I'm against the season because of X, Y, and Z. These public figures who are leading mostly public universities have been embarrassingly absent, I think. They haven't justified anything. And that only feeds into the idea that, okay, what were the criteria exactly? If you had concrete criteria and you had a reason for making the decisions that you did, other than just saying that, well, health and welfare of our student athletes, I feel like you would have spoken up by now. I think the fact that there wasn't anything concrete, really, the silence backs that up. Because I feel like if I were a university president and I had a very firm belief and I had a very firm list of criteria for having those beliefs, I feel like I would have shared them by now, you know, whether they would be popular or not. And instead, they're just leaving not just fans and the public and parents, but they're leaving coaches and players hung out to dry. Like, I don't think they, and maybe it's changed over the week or two since, but I don't think they really had any answers as to what this meant and what it meant for their eligibility and their scholarships. And there are huge fundamental questions that come out of this that I just don't think they anticipated the ripple effect or the ramifications at all. And I think because of that, that's why everybody is silent right now. And I think that's kind of an embarrassment. You know, I think for Kevin Warren, he tried to get out there and tried to get out in front of this when the decision was first made. He came up well short in that department. And I think releasing a letter on social media 2 weeks later is not nearly enough.
All right, Dustin, I'm going to press you for answers and at least give me your theory, your conjecture. Why did the Big Ten commissioner and presidents decide to cancel the season when obviously there's a lot of other sports going on and other conferences that are still playing? Why did they vote the way they did, according to Dustin?
Well, I do think there was a conclusion that was drawn that all the leagues would eventually follow suit. You know, that they were on the front wave of this, and I really feel like the latest information about the heart disease and the long term effects, I think that spooked a bunch of these people. And I mean, I have no issue with being spooked by that, but we are in this environment where the information and what it suggests and what the data says, it changes nonstop. So I didn't really see any reason to be so proactive with a decision that had such a sweeping impact on so many people. Not just, you know, we're talking about players and the coaches and all that, but all these towns and all these businesses and all and the universities themselves. I mean, there are such big ramifications to this, and you can't make that decision being spooked and being, I don't want to use the word short-sighted, but they made a really quick decision when it's been proven, I think, since March that you take all the time you can possibly get before you make a decision of this magnitude. I think they were quick to jump the gun. I don't think they were thoughtful enough about it. I don't think they've communicated well enough. I don't think they've shared what the decision-making criteria are in any adequate way. And they haven't shown their faces since, though. So there's no reason to doubt that I'm right about this.
Well, I do agree with you. They did not give us the criteria for the decision that they made. Perhaps if they had done that, even if you disagree, you could at least understand it. That is it for quarter number one. We're going to pick this conversation up in quarter number two, and I'm going to ask Dustin what it's going to take for the Big Ten to play in the fall.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. For week one of the football season, DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. Even if Kansas City loses by 100 points, you would still cash your bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.